The Lord told John to write 7 letters, one to each of the churches in the province of Asia. The first one was addressed to the church in Ephesus. Christ, the glorified judge, declares that he walks among the 7 golden lampstands, meaning that he is in the midst of his people on earth. He commends the Ephesian believers for their good works, patient endurance, and their rejection of evildoers. But there was one thing he held against them. They had lost their first love. The early, fervent devotion to Christ had gone. "Repent and do the things you did at first," says the Lord. "If you do not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place." That is, the church would lose the light of its witness in the world. Christ promises to the one who overcomes the right to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. This letter, like all the others, ends with an appeal to listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches. The second message was for the church in Smyrna. Christ, who is the first and the last, the one who died and rose again, declares that he knows the afflictions of this church, how it is persecuted and slandered. Although poor, the Lord says it is rich. Smyrna was a center of emperor worship that was hostile to Christianity. It also had a large Jewish community that had become a synagogue of Satan through unbelief. Christ exhorts the church not to be afraid of what it would have to suffer, as the time of persecution would be short. "Be faithful," he says, "even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." The overcomer would not be hurt by the second death, which is eternal separation from God. The third letter was to be sent to the church in Pergamum. The Lord declares that he is the one who has the sharp two-edged sword of judgment. He knows that the church is located where Satan has his throne. Pergamum was a notable center of idolatry, including Caesar worship. The church, however, had remained true to the Lord in spite of persecution, as when Antipas, a faithful witness of Christ, had been put to death. There were some people in the church, however, who adhered to profane and ungodly doctrines and practices. "Repent, therefore," says the Lord, "or I will come and fight against you with the sword of my mouth." He promises to give hidden manna, that is, fellowship with Christ, and a new name to the one who overcomes. The fourth message was for Thyatira, a commercial center riddled with paganism. Christ is again portrayed as judge, with blazing eyes and feet like burnished bronze. He commends the church for its love, faith, perseverance, and many good works. But he also charges it with a serious offense, that of allowing a false prophetess called Jezebel to teach depraved and immoral practices. She had been given time to repent, but was unwilling to do so. The Lord therefore declares that he will punish her and those who follow her, unless they repent of their wicked ways. Then everyone will know that Christ repays each one according to his deeds. As for those who had not accepted this ungodly teaching, no other burden would be laid on them. Christ says he will give authority to rule the nations to the one who obeys him to the end. The fifth letter was addressed to the church in Sardis, which had the reputation of being alive, but was in fact spiritually dead. The Lord declares that he is the one who possesses the sevenfold fullness of the Holy Spirit. He calls upon Sardis to wake up and strengthen what remains of its dying spiritual life, or else he will come upon it stealthily, like a thief, with unexpected judgment. There were, however, a few people in Sardis who had kept themselves pure. "They are worthy," says the Lord, "to walk with me clothed in white, and I will not remove their names from the book of life, and will acknowledge them before my Father." The sixth message was to be sent to the church in Philadelphia. The Lord speaks of himself as the one who is holy and true, and who holds the keys of the kingdom. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. Although the church had little strength, it had kept Christ's word and had not denied his name. As with the persecuted church in Smyrna, Philadelphia receives no word of rebuke from the Lord. Christ says that he will open a door of witness for it that no one can shut, and even its enemies will have to acknowledge that the Lord loves it. Christ promises to keep it from the hour of tribulation that will come upon the whole world. He exhorts the church not to let anyone take its crown. The overcomer will be a pillar in God's temple, having God's name written upon him, and the name of God's city, the New Jerusalem, and the Lord's new name. The seventh letter was for the church in Laodicea, an industrial and medical center. The Lord calls himself the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The spiritual condition of this church was appalling. Because of its wealth, it had become lukewarm, proud, and self-sufficient, boasting that it needed nothing. The Lord says he will spit it out of his mouth, as it will not acknowledge how wretched, poor, blind, and naked it is. He tells it to buy from him the pure gold of a regenerated spirit, and the white clothes of holiness, and eye salve to get true insight and understanding. Those I love, I chasten, declares the Lord. So be earnest and repent. Christ says he stands at the door and knocks. He promises that if anyone hears his voice and opens the door of his heart, he will enter and have fellowship with him, and the overcomer will sit with him on his throne. Next episode, The Throne in Heaven.